Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread to spare? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours come, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'"
Thank you, Dolis, for reading that text from Luke 15, verse 11 to 12. And this morning, the title of the message is called "The Reconciling Father Heart." On this Father's Day, we want to look at the heart of God. And as we have read that text and heard that text, I want to begin by saying that I believe that the text that we have read, which we know as the prodigal son, is more about the man, it's more about the father than the sons, because the whole account in this parable is how the father responds to his wayward son. It begins by saying, "There was a man who had two sons." So right at the very beginning, the focus funnels us to look toward the father, and the fact that he had two sons then builds on the fact that he was a father. The number two in scripture in biblical numerology, although we're not putting too much on it, does convey a meaning of union. It conveys a meaning sometimes of division, it being in two minds. And it also conveys and speaks about a verification of witness. Again, usually if someone wanted to verify a fact, it would require two witnesses. The Bible speaks about the union between Christ and his church. And again, the Bible itself is divided into two testimonies. It's divided into the Old and into the New Testament. And it speaks about God speaking to his people through the Old Testament, through the law. And then in the New Testament, God again is revealed in a new way through his Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible speaks about two Adams. It speaks about the first Adam who sinned and brought destruction into our world. He broke the relationship that humankind was supposed to have had with man. And then Jesus speaks about being the second Adam or the last Adam. And Jesus brings hope, and resurrection and the hope of eternal life into the world. And so Jesus, as the second Adam, reconciles and makes right those things that the first Adam had done wrong. For the Jewish listener, and we need to put on our cultural hat just for a moment, because for the Jewish listener, they would have heard three things in the telling of this account. They would have heard three things that would have convinced them that the son actually wasn't a good son. In fact, they would have been quite repulsed and angry in hearing the things about the son. The first thing was they would have heard the son asking for his inheritance. And in effect, what he was saying was, "Father, I wish you were dead." Because you wouldn't ordinarily ask for your inheritance until the father had passed away. And yet here's the son saying, "Give me my inheritance." What an insult to the father. And the people of the day, the hearers of the day, would have understood the insult that the son was giving to the father. The second thing they would have heard is that, again, culturally, it was a time when everything was always done in community. Always, always in community. And yet they would have heard the son saying that he packed up all of his belongings, it says in the parable, he packed up everything he had and went to live in a foreign land. They would have been absolutely angered at the fact that the son, in effect, was exiling his community, cutting himself off, separating himself from his community, because community was everything. Everything was done in community. And although we normally talk about an individual going off into exile, in this case, what the son was doing, he was actually exiling his community. And he would have gone into the world and had no restraint. He would have had anonymity and could do whatever he wanted. Going to live in a foreign land, he would have been exposed by every temptation that the world, or rather the cities, had to offer. And it's not too dissimilar from our world today if we think about our digital world. There are many people today who are unrestrained because they have the anonymity that the internet and being on a computer affords them. And so they perhaps act in a different way to what they would act in the real physical world. The third thing that the listeners would have heard is that he was caring for animals that, again, culturally, they would have considered unclean. He was caring for pigs, ritually unclean animals. And so those three things would have combined to convince the hearer, the listener, that this son actually wasn't a good son. And maybe some of you this morning hearing the message are feeling like that. You're feeling that actually you're not good enough. You're feeling that you're the worst person that there could ever be because no one understands or knows the things that you have done. But I want to say that there is hope for you this morning because of the reconciling Father heart of God. In that account then, in verse 17, we read the son decides to return to the father. And the son may have been contrite in his heart, but there was also an element of calculation. In verse 17 there, it says, when he came to himself, he said, in other words, he was rationalizing it. He was reasoning it. He was saying, I'll be better if I go back to my father. I've no doubt at all that there was an element of contriteness in his heart, but there was also a measure of calculation. Again, in verse 18, look at the son's thinking there. He says, and this reveals something about the contrite nature of the son's heart, because the son says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Note that, before heaven and before you. Heaven first, you second. Most of us would think that actually that he'd insulted and hurt his father first. But I think that tells us something about the heart of the son. The fact that he recognized that even in his far off state, there was something in him that still recognized that there was a God who was sovereign, who was Lord over everything. And he never quite let that go. And so he recognized in his return that actually he had insulted God and he needed to be repentant before God. As I read that, it reminded me of the story of Joseph in Genesis and the account of Potiphar's wife. When Potiphar's wife asks Joseph to go to bed with him, and Joseph's reply is this. He says this in Genesis 39:9. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, Joseph could have got away with it, but he knew that even though naturally people may not have seen or may not have known, he knew that he was accountable to God. And I want to suggest that maybe the son, even in all his waywardness, at the back of his mind, in the foundation of his thinking, he knew that he couldn't run away from God and that God was still looking out for him and God had still got his hand on his life. And here in verse 20 then, we see that it says that the father, when he saw the son from a long way off, it says the father was filled with compassion. And you know what? It's still the same today. You may be in a situation where you think that you have completely blown it. You may think that your life is so bad, the things that you have done, there is no way that God could reconcile you to himself. There is no way that God could love you. But hear this. The father, seeing the son a long way off, was filled with compassion. And you this morning might see yourself as a long way off. You may want to have nothing to do with God in this moment. You may think you're the last person God cares about. But hear this. God sees you and he looks at you with a compassionate heart. God sees you with the eyes of compassion. Again, we're told in the scriptures, it says this, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And that isn't a tyrannical type of fear. That is a reverence, an awe, not understanding who God is. And so it tells us that God shows and has a compassion the way that a father has compassion toward his children. Know today that there is a way for you back to God. There is a way that your broken relationship with Father God can be restored this morning. The son made a determination about his destiny based on a perverted perspective about the impact of his past on his present position. Let me say that again, because again, I'm sure some of you watching this message are in that same position. Listen carefully. The son made a determination about his destiny or about his future based on a perverted perspective about the impact of his past on his present position. In other words, he looked back in the past and he understood all that he had done, and he thought that everything that he had done in his past, there was no way that that could be fixed, no way that he could be reconciled with God. And so he concluded wrongly that he wasn't worthy, that he wasn't good enough. The son said, if I go back to my father, I'll just eat the pods that the animals are eating because I'm not good enough to be the son. And many of you this morning are in that same position. There are things in your past that you are allowing it to influence your present and ultimately your future because you have a wrong perspective about your past. God knows your past. He sees your past. And in spite of that, God still looks at you with a heart of compassion, and God still calls you to himself. That's the heart of God. And you need to hold on this morning to that fact. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to affirm to you that actually you are good enough, that actually you are loved, you are accepted by God. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray right now for anyone watching this message who wrongly believes that they are not good enough, who are saying to themselves that they are not worthy enough of your love. Father, by your Spirit, would you impact them now and change that perverse perspective about their past and bring them, Lord God, into the reality and the truth of your compassionate love and your desire to restore lives. You see, verse 22 says this, just to affirm all that I've just said, but the Father. In other words, but God. But God, friends, declares a new future and a new destiny over us through Christ Jesus. And that is good news. The fact that our past doesn't have to affect our future, that God through Christ Jesus can change our future and our eternal destiny. This account of the parable of the prodigal son is the story of God's initiative to reconcile us to himself. The father ran and put his arms around the son and kissed him on the neck. On the cross, Jesus himself was humiliated so that humankind could be reconciled back to the Father. And here in this parable of the prodigal son, we see the same kind of humiliation on the part of the Father. In Eastern culture, to rush is not dignified. A dignified person would have walked slowly. And yet here we read that the Father, seeing the son a long way off, ran to him. He humiliated himself for the sake of the son. And then we're told something else, that the father falls on the son's neck. It should have been the other way around, because in the culture, if you are of equal status, equal standing, you would kiss on the cheek. You'd kiss each other on the cheek. If you were slightly lower status, then you may kiss someone on the neck. Hence, he fell on the son's neck. if you were again of a lower status, again, you might kiss the hand of the individual. And if you were of a lower status again, say that of a slave, then you would fall down and kiss the feet. The fact that the father fell on the son's neck showed him that he was welcoming him back with an open heart, that he wasn't counting his past against him, but he was just glad to see the son. One of the hardest things to understand in Christian faith, and maybe some of you are still struggling with it today, is the fact that you are not accepted by God because of the good works that you do. All and every other religion in the world talks about a God who you can only reach if you work hard enough, if you are good enough. It talks about us, humankind, always trying to reach up to God. But the Christian message talks about a God who left the splendor, the majesty of heaven, came down into our world so that we could connect with him and know him personally. We receive God's forgiveness as a free gift by faith. And God declares us to be righteous. That is, he declares us to be good enough. He declares us not guilty. He declares anyone who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be good enough. Anyone, the whosoever. And here's the great thing. The righteousness, the fact that we are made right, is not of our own doing, but it's because the righteousness of someone else has been transferred onto us. On the cross, friends, Jesus took our sin and exchanged our sin for his righteousness. Can you get that this morning? It's nothing that we do. You will never, ever be good enough to earn God's favor, but it is simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come by simple faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, he transfers his righteousness and places his righteousness on us. And then God begins to look at us through the lens, through the prism of the resurrected Christ Jesus. And what that means for us, friends, is that we will never come into judgment or condemnation for our sins. The day of judgment has already taken place for us. It took place 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And now you and I are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and God does not delay. Hallelujah. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Again, in the account of the prodigal son, it says, the father, seeing the son, said to the servant, come, bring quickly my finest robe. And listen, it doesn't matter whether you are 21, whether you are 61, whether you are 91. It doesn't matter. The moment that you, by faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what your past was like. The moment that you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares you to be righteous, good enough through the work of his son. Listen to what it says in the Bible. It says this, for our sake he made him, that is Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Again, elsewhere in the Bible it says this, let your priests be clothed with righteousness and let your saints shout for joy. Are there any priests out there this morning? Yes, there are, because God declares that we are the new priesthood. Are there any saints out there this morning? Yes, there are, because God declares that you and I are saints. And so, friends, let us shout for joy this morning. Hallelujah. Because we have been made good enough through the compassionate heart of the Father and the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, verse 24 says this. It says of the Father that the Son was dead and now alive, lost and found. And friends, this is us, because God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. That's what it says in Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 5. Every single one of us, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, we were dead in our sin. We were spiritually dead. It tells us that we were lost. We were not lost because of our present situation, but speaking about, when we talk about being lost, it speaks of the future state. The fact that we're going before Christ, we are destined for a lost eternity. We are destined for an eternity separated from the goodness of God, separated from the hope of God, separated from the light of God. Before we met Christ, we were going to a lost eternity with only darkness and despair. That's all our futures held for us before we came to know Christ. But that, friends, is not the future that God desires for anyone. But it's the choices that we make that determine where we spend eternity, where our eternal destiny will take us. Listen, it's not God who consigns anyone to hell. God does not send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell through the choices that we make in this life. Ultimately, we consign ourselves to a lost eternity if we fail in this life to make a choice toward God through the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and our confidence in him. The Bible tells us that there is no other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might spend the whole of your life looking for other ways to curry the favor of God, and you will never find it. The only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in him. And again, in verse 31, it just reminds us, it says, when the other son complained about the fact that the father was throwing a feast, and the father said to the son that has stayed at home, you have always been with me, you have always had all these things at hand. And I want to suggest that as students of Jesus, we need to get better at celebrating and welcoming those who are new into the kingdom. We need to stop telling people how bad they are. People do not come into the kingdom because you tell them how bad they are. Listen, most people know how bad they are, but what people want to know is they want to know that there is hope, that they can change their future. They want to know that there is a way that they can find favor with God and know the love of God through Christ Jesus. We need to get better at celebrating those who, by faith, for the first time, put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification, that is the process of us being changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. Sanctification, like transformation, is all the work of the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to do with it. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me encourage you, cut each other some slack. Or maybe for you religious people out there, I think the theological term is we need to exercise grace toward one another. But we need to cut some slack toward each other. We're all messed up. None of us this side of eternity will be perfect. God doesn't call us to himself on the basis of if we get rid of this, this, and this. God calls us to himself on the basis that he loves us and that he has a compassionate heart. So we need to stop telling people when they come into the kingdom that they need to deal with this and deal with that. That, friends, is the domain and the work of the Holy Spirit alone. He is the one who conforms us and transforms us and makes us more like Jesus. And so in concluding this message today, I want to say this. Don't focus on what you were. Don't focus on where you have come from. Instead, rejoice in the simple fact that you have come. Don't look at those who are perhaps new in the kingdom and talk about their past life. Talking about our past life does not glorify God in any way. Instead, our testimony needs to be about the difference, the change, the transformation that Jesus has made in our lives since coming to know him. That's what the Father heart of God is. That's what the Father with the compassionate heart does. He doesn't look at our past. He doesn't count it against us. But he receives us with simple love. And he asks his followers to do exactly the same. This Father's Day, friends, let's celebrate the fact that God has made the way. Amen. This morning, if you, in listening to the message, have heard something, and you too, this morning, want to know how you can have a relationship with God, how you can know him personally for yourself, then please visit our website, www.neathelim.co.uk. There you will find information on how you can start your journey of faith toward knowing God. Alternatively, before this broadcast is finished, why not put a comment in the box, in the comment box this morning, to let us know that for the first time this morning, you have asked Jesus into your life and you want to start that journey, that Christian journey this morning with Jesus. God bless you. Have a great day.